This gospel kind of shifts gears pretty quickly, so the homily will somewhat reflect that. Bear with me. But I've heard this gospel proclaimed, or proclaimed it myself now, 5 times this week. There's a message in here, and marriage is certainly one of them. The other, how we are asked to approach our Creator, our God, as childlike. And really, whether it be married life, religious life, single life, the love that God created us with, the care that He went through, and from our second reading, the sacrifice He made to save us. So we will speak about marriage, about God as our Creator and our place as the created, but we will tread somewhat carefully, for we do live in complicated times. And I would assume there are not many in this church who have not been affected by or experienced the pains of divorce. I myself am a child of divorce. But I think we would be shirking our responsibility if we failed to talk about the ideal that Jesus places before us. So the first one has to do with, and we must listen carefully. The Pharisees approached Jesus and asked, "Is it lawful for a husband to divorce his wife?" They were testing him. Pharisees are always trying to catch Jesus, denying the law of Moses, so that they can tell people that anyone who does not care about the command of Moses cannot be the Messiah. They were looking to trip him up always. But notice his response. He returns a question upon them to seek their biases. He said to them in reply, "What did Moses command you? What God has joined together, let no human being separate." It was the custom of the people of that time. Husband could divorce his wife, but the wife could not divorce her husband. So Jesus was condemning the allowance, the rationalization, the selfishness from this which this was derived. And Jesus does not propose anything new. Rather, just what God had intended from the beginning. And the church still asks this today. We just had a wedding here last night. When we bring those who seek marriage and we prepare them, we remind them, it is the man and the woman who are performing this sacrament in the sight of God. As God presented Eve to Adam, so the bride's father or the representative presents the daughter to the husband. Priests and deacons do not marry the men and women who come forward. We act as witnesses to the sacrament. They are choosing, in the presence of God, without impediment, to join together as one flesh, to sanctify each other, and to, God willing, participate in His creative act, to bring up children who will love and serve Him as they do, as their parents do. And the second example of the kingdom of God that Mark speaks of tonight, but is no less important, maybe a little less controversial. The scene set is very sweet, but it's an abrupt shift, for Jesus has been preaching all day long. They suppose, the apostles do, that He's very tired. Sometimes they worry about Jesus, sometimes too much. And of course, there's a group of women carrying their children. They bring the children to Jesus so Jesus can touch them and bless them. And the disciples decide, well, He's had enough for one day. They dismiss them away. Hey, leave Him alone. And Jesus gets indignant. Boy, I love that word. "Suffer the little children to come to Me. Forbid them not, for such is the kingdom of God." The kingdom of God is God's free gift to us. Not something we can earn. It's His grace, something that we are asked to participate in by drawing others to Him. These children take Jesus, take God Himself into their hearts, no questions, no demands, no complications, no guile, because they understand that God loves them and God cares for them, and they open their hearts in simplicity. Contrast that with the Pharisees, looking to trip Him up by a line in the law. In them is guile. In them is resentment. In them is hardness of heart. And children know this because they're dependent. They don't worry about being secure by gaining money or power or glory. These mean nothing to children. Children open their hearts and accept the love of God, no questions asked. And that is why Jesus tells us you must love as children love. Children accept love because they depend on their mother and father for everything. And they return that love with simplicity, without an agenda, and without a long memory. And Jesus implores us that his love of us will never tire, that we can always come to him. But he asks us to keep it simple. He asks that we remember the obligation of our baptism into our Christian lives to know God, to serve God, so that we can one day be happy with him for all eternity. His gift is his very self. He put himself in a vulnerable way into our lives, into living a life of a human being. The letter to the Hebrews succinctly reminds us of this. Jesus condescended to live among us as a poor person, as an itinerant preacher, to put himself into harm's way. He did that to free us and to save us, to sacrifice himself, he who was innocent, for us who are guilty, so that we may be raised up with him. All of our sins, as we mentioned last week, come from that place of pride. We become the center of our universe. I don't know about you, but that's a dangerous place for me to be, because it's not my job, and I wasn't very good at it. We have a tendency to complicate very simple things. So let us take the lesson of this gospel and be childlike in seeking God, to be dependent on him and trust that even in these times that are so complicated, so fraught, he is in control from the beginning until the end. And that we, who are his beloved, are always in his care.